Please stand for the reading of the gospel. This is from the gospel according to John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. And Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. This is the word of God for the children of God. Please be seated. Well, when a telephone rings, what do we say? "Hello?" Not in my house. When the telephone rings, we look at the phone. And if it's a number we don't know, we just walk away. Not me. I answer it. Trust me, I answer it. Not Bonnie. Nope. And if it's from Philadelphia or Topeka, Kansas, she's not answering it. I don't know anybody that lives out there. Said, okay. I always tell her, "Come on, just pick it up. Just see who it is. It might be somebody we know." So I'm telling you this so that you will know if you need to get a hold of us, you call my cell phone or Bonnie's cell phone. You can call the house. Hopefully you'll get the answering machine, and eventually we'll hear it. But when we hear ring, ring, we say, "Hello." There was a farmer who was a good Christian man, very actively involved in his church. He was out plowing his field one day. And as he's plowing the field, he stopped and he took a breather and he looked up at the sky and he caught his breath and he said, "Wow, look at that. There were 3 clouds and they spelled out the letters G, P, C. He thought, "This is a sign. It's got to be a sign. G, P, C. What? Must be God telling me to go preach Christ." And so he got all cleaned up and he went to church that night. And he went to the deacons and he said, "Listen, God gave me a sign. GPC was in the sky." He says, I am on fire for God. I have got to preach Christ. You've got to let me do this." He was so full of energy, so adamant. They were impressed and they said, okay. They said, "Tomorrow morning, you come on in and you can preach, because tomorrow's Sunday. You come on in and you can preach the message." Well, the next day, that farmer was there, and he got up behind that pulpit, and he preached, and he preached, and he preached, and he went on and on and on, kind of like, Pastor Bruce, went on and on and on and on. And his message was disjointed. It was confusing. It was long and boring, and the one deacon leaned over to the other, and he says, "I think GPC meant go plant corn." It would be nice if it was that easy, wouldn't it, to hear from God. God would just do some sky writing and would say, "Bruce, this is what I want you to do today." Would be nice. Here in the passage that we just read, it almost sounded like that's what it was. John the Baptist turns around and says to Andrew and the other disciple, "Look, the Lamb of God." But it doesn't say that Andrew became a follower of his right away. No, instead, it says in verse 39 that Andrew went and spent the day with Jesus, getting to know Jesus. It doesn't say that he became a follower. It wasn't Andrew's idea to go after Jesus and be one of his followers. Not yet. Instead, in Matthew chapter 4 and in Mark verse chapter 1, it says that when Andrew and his brother Peter were fishing, that Jesus called them to be fishers of men. He said, come, follow me and be fishers of men. Andrew and Peter had gone and met Jesus and got to know him. But it was Jesus who did the calling. Come with me and I will make you fishers of men. That's an important thing for us to remember, is that God calls us. It's not us who call God. I know, you know, I spent 11 years as registrar of District Committee of Ordained Ministry. Now, registrar meant that I was in charge of the paperwork, which drains me. But also means I was on the committee. And the District Committee of Ordained Ministry, our function was to interview candidates who wanted to go into the ministry. And we would interview them. We had a series of questions that we'd go over with them. And we would try to offer them advice and guide them and direct them the way that we really felt God wanted them to go. Because some people who came through that committee, we didn't feel they were really called to ordained ministry. Sometimes they were called to missionary work or just deeper involvement in the church. I was old school. I would always ask them, tell me about your call by God. I want to know what your call by God was. Because too many people were saying, well, I thought this would be a good idea. I thought this would be nice. I thought this would be interesting. And my second favorite question was this. Let's say, Peggy's up here all by herself. We'll pick on Peggy again. Peggy, let's say that you were going through that committee and we had asked you about your call and that. And I would always pop this question. I would say, Peggy, what would you do if this committee turned you down and we decided not to continue you and you couldn't become a pastor as far as we were concerned in this district? What would you do? And I would say that to a candidate. Because you know what I wanted to hear? I wanted to hear, well, God called me, and this will work out some way, somewhere. You know, I can't tell you, the 99 times out of 100, people would say, oh, well, I'll do something else. Well, if that's the way you're going to look at it, then it wasn't God that called you. Because when God calls you, it's a burning desire that you can't get rid of. There's nothing else in your life that will do. It can only be what God has called you to do, and you are not going to give up. You just can't. I've shared this before, and here's my oldest son sitting there. When I was going away to seminary for those 4 years, and I was not home, I wasn't around to see them grow up and do the things that they did in school and in sports and that. And we had confrontation after confrontation. And they would come to me and they'd say, Dad, why are you doing this? Why aren't you around? And it was with a broken heart, but I'd say, because when God, the creator of the whole universe, calls you, how can you say no? I said, I can't say no. And then years later, three of my oldest kids came to me, one after the other, and said, we know what you were talking about. Because now God has called me, and I can't say no either. And so my oldest son is he's an elder in the United Methodist Church, just like I am. And my daughter Hannah is soon to be an elder, and Jacob is in seminary on his track to become an elder. I'm going to tell you, God is calling all of us to be the best Christians that we can be. But God calls each of us to specific things. And he gives us the gifts that we need when we need them. But there is a specific calling that God has for each of us to do. Certain works. It's just that we're not always saying hello. We're not always answering the phone. Some of us can be real slow on the uptake. God got Moses' attention with a burning bush. That's after he did a lot of other things to set Moses up, but he finally got his attention with a burning bush. He called Samuel while he was sleeping. 3 times, actually. Young Samuel had been left there at the temple by his mother, who dedicated him to God and gave him to God by putting him in the temple to grow up there. And at night, while he's sleeping, he woke up and he heard a voice saying to him, calling him. And he went running to Eli. Was it Eli? He went running to Eli, who was the priest in the temple. And he said, "What is it? What do you want?" And Eli said, "It's not me. Go back to bed." Samuel went back to bed, and then he heard the voice again calling his name. And he ran over to Eli into his room. And he said, "What do you want?" And Eli said, "Boy," he said, "it's not me. Go back to bed." Then it happened a third time. And Eli realized what was going on. He said, "The next time you hear that voice, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Samuel did that, and he went on to become the last of the great prophets, the last of the great judges. He was amazing. God got Gideon's attention. God called Gideon to be one of those judges to deliver his people from bondage. Gideon says, "You can't be talking to me because I'm in the smallest tribe and I am the smallest in my tribe." He got all kinds of excuses why he couldn't be him. And God said, "No, it's you. I'm calling you." And Gideon says, "Well, how about if we do this? I'll lay this fleece on the ground. You make it wet on top of the fleece and dry everywhere else." So God did that. Gideon says, "Okay, how about if we make it dry on the fleece, wet everywhere else?" And God did that. When God calls us, it takes faith on our part, but God will make it clear as long as we're willing to answer the phone. So when I say, "Ring, ring," you say, "Hello, hello." Absolutely. Let me help you out here. We all know that God calls every one of us, right? John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll obey my commands." That goes for all of us. Now, we also know that God calls us to do specific things. Look in Romans 12 about the gifts that God gives all of us. God empowers us to do certain things. Some of us are good teachers. Some of us are pastors. Some of us are hosts. Some of us are tithers. We're all called to tithe, but some of us do it better than others. We give more. Some of us are called to be encouragers. We're better at encouraging people than others. I was losing you there. Sorry. Good. I want to help you answer the phone. Six things that, and I got this from sermoncentral.com. In order to discern God's call in your life, these things may help. 1, if money were not an issue, what would you do with your time? If money was no issue for you, what would you be doing with your time? Two, what do you love to do and what do you hate to do? What do you love to do and what do you absolutely hate to do? Like I said earlier, I hate paperwork. Three is a lot like number two. What gives you energy and what drains you? So when you're doing something, it pumps you up, gets you excited. What is that? And then there's that other thing that just, you just hate it. What is that? Number four, what is it that you really feel passionate about and you want to change and reshape and leave it better than it was? So what is it that you really feel needs to be addressed by you? Something that you really feel passionate about and you want to get involved and you want to change it and make it better? Number five, what segment of the population are you drawn to? Do you feel called to help children? Do you feel called to help senior citizens? Do you feel called to help people who are poor? How about people who are rich? Do you feel called to help immigrants? Do you feel called to help people that live in Appalachia, who live in Alaska, who live in Africa? Do you feel called to help addicts? Do you feel called to help people who are uneducated, who are lost? Who is it that you feel called? What segment of the population do you feel called to? And then number six is your bucket list. What do you want to experience? What do you want to witness? What do you want to learn in your life? What is it that you want to do? You want to experience it and learn it. If you can answer these six questions, it'll give you a clearer idea of what it is God is calling you to do. It'll help you discern God's call upon your life in particular. I would add one more to it to help you discern what it is you're called to do. What have people said you're good at? What is it that you do that people have said you are good at? They're always asking you to do it because you do it well. You do it with style. Peggy is good at exhortation. She's got the gift of exhortation. That means encouraging. She said, "What is that?" Encouraging. You exhort, we are called to exhort one another, and some of us are better exhorters than others. Peggy's very good at that. Always has positive things to say and bubbling over and pumping you up and she exhorts, encourages. Diane has the gift of music. And it's more than just tra-la-la. It's all the hard work and everything she does, organizing and doing music. So we are also called to specific things to do as well as general things. And if somebody is confirming that in you, then you might say, yeah, maybe this is what God is calling me to do after all. So discern that call, because you never know when that phone is going to ring. And God wants us to do these things for our own good. God could raise up rocks to do what he needs to have done. But God is calling us so that we will give him our obedience and sacrifice our lives to him and make him number one. That's because he loves us. So ring, ring. Yep. God is calling. I'm going to post these seven things I'm going to post them. We'll put them in a newsletter or a bulletin here real soon. Several people have asked. Last night at the service, Saturday night service, which I tell you, you want a fun service. You need to come out Saturday night, 6 o'clock upstairs. That's fun. And first service, two people have asked for the list. I'm going to leave you with one thing, a little story. It has nothing to do with what I just preached about. But how many of you know who Tom Brady is? Okay, Tom Brady is the quarterback of the New England Patriots. Arguably one of the best quarterbacks in football today. Cheater.
Oh, yeah.
Red, white, and blue, you know, got the horse. How many of you know who Terry Bradshaw is? Okay, quarterback for Pittsburgh Steelers in the past. Excellent quarterback. Let's just say Tom Brady and Terry Bradshaw die and find themselves both standing at the pearly gates together. St. Peter comes out and says, okay, boys, come on in. You know, you two were two of my favorite quarterbacks. You guys were just outstanding. He said, we've got a house prepared for each of you that's going to reflect how great a quarterback you were, because you didn't really deserve this. So the first house they went to was Tom Brady's. Beautiful house. Beautiful veranda on the front and decorated all over in New England Patriots memorabilia. Just everywhere you looked, New England Patriots, the colors and everything, it was gorgeous. Tom Brady says, yeah, this is nice. And St. Peter walks away with Terry Bradshaw. Tom Brady walks up on his veranda and he turns around and he looks up on the hill and there's a mansion. It is absolutely gorgeous. And it is all painted in black and gold. And it's got Steelers stuff all over it. And he just can't believe it. This place is absolutely a beautiful Pittsburgh Steelers football hall of fame. It's gorgeous. And Tom Brady says, whoa, wait a minute. St. Peter, come back here. St. Peter comes back and says, yeah, Tom, what is it? And he says, listen, I was a better quarterback than Terry Bradshaw. I did a lot better than him. I set more records. It's not even close. I am much better than him. Why is he getting a big, beautiful place like that, and I've got this? And St. Peter looks up there, and he says, oh, that's not Terry's house. That's God's. So, the game's on at 8:20. Go Steelers. But also when the phone rings, answer it. That phone call from God. God may be calling you right now to do something. There are things that need to be done, things that God wants done. God is calling. So, GPC. It could mean go preach Christ. It might mean go plant corn. You need to ask yourself all those questions to make sure it's what God wants done. God loves you, and so do I.